everyone, I'm your host Julia Cardoso and welcome to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So before I get into the topic of this episode, I'd like to update you on some things that have been going on in my life. So as you may or may not know, I am actually starting senior year of college. I'm going to be graduating in December with my degree in sociology. So I'm really excited, but today was my first day of class and it was just really bad with anxiety, and hopefully in a few more weeks as I get settled in and just get used to my environment again, I will get better. And another exciting thing is that I started volunteering at NAMI GBCAN, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and it's the Boston chapter. And so far it's been really great. I've been working on their social media and hopefully gonna be getting into some outreach within the next few weeks. And so September has been named Recovery Month. And Recovery Month promotes the societal benefits of prevention, treatment, and recovery from mental and substance abuse disorders. It celebrates people in recovery, enlarges the contribution of treatments and service providers, and promotes the message that recovery in all forms is possible. Recovery Month spreads the positive message that behavioral health is essential to overall health, that prevention works, treatment is effective, and people can and do recover. So in honor of Recovery Month, I decided to create a 30-day recovery challenge. And basically what I did was come up with questions that really gets people thinking about their recovery, thinking about their mental health, and about themselves and how they can really use this, like, really self, like, internal thinking to really challenge yourself and to lead into recovery. And the question that today is day four, and the question that was, the question for the day was, what has been most helpful in coping with your mental health or condition? And so far, a lot of people, over 200 people, have joined to start the challenge, and it's been really great reading the responses and seeing people really think about recovery. And I got a lot of messages of people who never even thought about recovery, and doing my challenge has really gotten them to take that step. So I'm really glad that people are enjoying it. And if you want me to send you the questions so you can do your the challenge on your own, you can email me at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. So for this episode, I'd like to talk about how to tackle social involvement in and out of school. So, you know, being social with the anxiety disorder has got to be one of the hardest things. And especially when you're in school, because it's like you're forced into these situations that you don't want to be in, like group work and going on field trips. And one thing that I can definitely say that will help is to start early. The first 2 weeks of school, everyone's nervous. Like, it's a brand new school year. You never know what to expect. Like, there's freshmen on campus who are just started, and these first 2 weeks are really your chance to put yourself out there and get a fresh start to everything, and just making it a better school year for yourself. And I suggest that during Welcome Week that you attend some of the campus events, and just putting yourself in these situations that you won't normally be in. Another thing I can suggest is to start to maybe make connections with people. Start to introduce yourself. And just going up to a stranger and saying hi can be really hard, but you can start off small. If you see someone maybe on your floor, if you live on campus or in class all the time, and you see them around, start by even smiling at them. I know it seems weird, but little gestures like that can definitely help to lead into a social interaction. And hopefully if they like start to smile back, you guys can then move on to saying hello, and just, you know, hopefully that will turn into a conversation. So just working your way up into building social connections with people. Also, if you see that someone comes up to you and starts to talk to you, listen to what they're saying, and try, when they're talking, try to think of things that you have in common, and that can eventually spark a conversation. And when you see that person again, say hi. I have the worst habit of randomly meeting someone, get into conversation. I see them 2 days later, and I just walk by them, and I didn't spend 30 minutes talking to you. And it's just, my nerves get the worst of me, and I'm like, should I say hi? Or, you know, maybe they're going to say hi first. And, you know, just say hello. Just smile. Do something. And another thing I suggest is to find your place on campus. If you like to play sports, join a sport. If you're interested in music, find your place in on campus, because that's really where you're going to connect the most with people that have things in common with you. For example, this semester, I think I'm going to join the yoga club, because I'd really like to get into more of yoga and meditation, really making it a more of a commitment. And I know that joining yoga club, I'm going to find a lot of people who like the same things as me. So it's going to be really great. And I really suggest you to also find your place on campus. Another thing that can help to really establish relationships and be more social is to get to know your teachers. Go to your office hours. I cannot stress how much me going to my office hours last semester helped me form a relationship with my professors that I can now ask for recommendations, and I can social network with them, and they can help me out for future references. And another thing that can be really helpful is to join study groups. Not only will you get your work done, but you should be able to help to meet people. If your class is having a study group to study for an exam or quiz coming up, attend it. There's going to be people just like you who are nervous and who need help in the course, and that's another thing that you have in common that you can really talk about and maybe get to know someone there. So now I'm going to talk about how to handle social events that are outside of school. So the first thing I would suggest is to bring a friend with you. Wherever you go, have someone with you that you know, that you feel comfortable around, that you can trust. Also, go somewhere where you're comfortable. So if you know that it's going to be somewhere that's going to give you a lot of anxiety and you just, it just can't happen, just don't go. Just go places that you know you're going to be in a comfortable situation, that you know you're going to be safe. And you can start off by going somewhere close to home or somewhere that you've been to before, that you know the people that's going to be there, so that it's going to be, you're going to be in a social environment, so you are going to be a little anxious, but at least you know that, okay, I'm going to be safe here, nothing's bad, it's going to happen, it's just anxiety. And also, if you're going to go to parties, make sure that you're safe, that you know whose party it is, and that you bring someone along with you, and that you know it's going to be a safe environment. Knowing whose party it is that I attend or which club I'm going to go to or stuff like that really helps me, because I'm like, okay, I know that this place is going to be a really good environment for me to be in. I'm going to have anxiety, but everything else is going to be okay. Also, just remember that whenever you feel like it's too much and you can't handle it, you can always leave. You don't have to be somewhere where you feel really uncomfortable, that you feel unsafe. This is not saying to not expose yourself to these situations, but it's just saying to start off slow. You don't have to jump in and just go to a party right away. You can start off by maybe going down the street, taking a walk with your friend, going to the park, going to the movie theaters, and eventually being able to be around more people and being around bigger crowds. So, you know, just start off slow and taking it one day at a time. So the guest for this episode is Melissa. She's 20, she's from Virginia, and she's going to be talking about her history with mental illness as well as her involvement in the club Active Minds on her campus, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Can you explain your mental illnesses? I've actually never heard of the first two that you mentioned.
Yeah, of course. So my only official diagnosis that I've ever received is trichotillomania, in parentheses, the hair pulling disorder, which used to be classified as an impulse control disorder, not otherwise specified in the DSM-4. And with the DSM-5, it got recategorized into a part of the OCD spectrum, which is very interesting because it has some implications for the psychopathology. I pull my hair out, and my eyebrows, my eyelashes, and luckily I was partially bald only for a year or two. which surprisingly enough, I was not too self-conscious about. But currently, I don't have any eyebrows right now, so I've been wearing makeup for a couple of years, and my eyelashes come and go. So, that part kind of sucks because it means I feel very self-conscious when I'm at the pool or the beach because my makeup isn't waterproof, so inevitably I'm going to be in public without any eyebrows on. And that, so yeah, it makes me a little nervous.
Okay.
And the other one, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I have not been diagnosed with it, but I think I should be. It's basically like PMS, but with a huge emphasis on the emotional side effects. Like, basically I get depression once a month. Not always, but more often than not, I experience like a really, really sharp decrease in my concentration, and my test scores aren't always so great around that time.
Okay.
So yeah.
And you said mild anxiety and mild depression. Well, you used to have that?
Yeah, I used to have very, very bad anxiety and depression during the first year or two of college. But I made some lifestyle changes and got out of that bad funk. So
that's good. What college did you go to again?
George Mason University.
Okay. And what do you think about college that, what do you think was it about college that triggered these mental illnesses or add to it?
Well, I always had like anxiety and depression symptoms, and I definitely was not mentally prepared to be in college. I knew it. I panicked about it my entire senior year and almost couldn't go because of how nervous I was. But I did go. And, like I said, I just wasn't mentally ready to be there.
Okay.
I didn't do any campus activities. I made no friends, and my boyfriend was at home, and all of that just made, I don't know. So, yeah.
Okay, and you said you're studying neuroscience with a minor in psychology?
Correct.
That's great. I just want to say that I really, really love, your blog is really, really helpful, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to reach out to you, because I really enjoy it, and I think it's helped many people, too.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate that.
Okay, so now we can, I guess, talk about Active Minds. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Active Minds is my very, very intense passion. And it was sort of the thing that helped get me out of my depression and anxiety. Active Minds is a national nonprofit with a goal to raise mental health awareness, and by doing so, reducing the stigma surrounding mental health issues. So we're a mental health advocacy group. We want to educate people on what mental illnesses are. And it was founded by a woman named Allison Malman, who went to the University of Pennsylvania. And she did so because her older brother committed suicide after struggling with schizoaffective disorder for a few years. And after he died by suicide, she started realizing that there are so few campus resources out for students who are struggling with mental illnesses. And she wanted to make sure people knew just how many students are dealing with these struggles. I think the number is, you know, the popular number is about 1 in 4 students have a mental health disorder. And 1,100 campus students die by suicide each year, making suicide the second leading cause of death for college students, which is it's pretty severe.
Definitely. What kind of events does the Active Mind on your campus do?
Well, we've only been around for like 2 years, so we're still sort of struggling to maintain some solid ground on campus, but I think the most notable event we held this past year was Post Secret, which, have you heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So, for people who don't know, it's a community art project where students are invited to write down, like, a secret or a fear or regret on a postcard, and they can decorate it, and it's totally anonymous, and it goes on the walls, and it's sort of designed to make people realize they're not alone. We all deal with tough stuff, but we're all in it together. And we received almost 300-400 postcards.
That's great.
Great for our first year. We're going to do it again this year.
That's wonderful. Have you ever personally felt the stigma of mental illness against you?
I think that I've been lucky enough not have dealt with it personally. Well, maybe with my parents a little bit. when I was in high school and my dad found out I was self-harming, he told me I would never get into college because people would find out I'd been self-harming, which is obviously not true because there are plenty of people in college with mental health issues. So I guess that would be an example of stigma.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people think that those, because of the stigma, they feel like those with mental illnesses are, I guess, less, like, incompetent, I guess. And
right.
Not that I understand, but I see why that happened, or why that comment was said. I like when you said that, your quote that you put in there, that we may not all have mental illness, but we all have mental health.
I got to expand upon that.
Do you want to speak about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's why, there are a lot of campus high school oriented mental health organizations, but why I like Active Minds, I think in particular, is because of that focus. The others usually tend to focus on mental illness, but even people with or without mental illness, we all still have mental health. And even if you aren't struggling with depression or anxiety, I'm sure you still get really stressed sometimes or really down some other days, and it's important to know how to take care of your mental health.
Exactly. Do you have any, last comments you'd like to add, or?
I guess just one day in the future, I'd like to see, when you're in elementary school, you have that group of kids who goes to the special education classes to learn, coping skills. And
yeah.
I just wish everyone, every kid, had that type of class, because
definitely,
it's so important that we all learn these coping skills early on.
Definitely. And I think, because actually in my high school, I've never really heard about mental health in high school. We never spoke about it. We never spoke about mental illnesses. And just, I feel like just educating us more about mental health, even educating us on, like you said, like coping mechanisms and like relaxation things, can definitely be beneficial, because then as we're growing up, we won't have none of the skills to put to use when we're going through tough times. So
yeah, exactly.
So I definitely agree with that. I just had one last question.
Okay.
What would you tell someone who is listening and is struggling with a mental illness right now and who feels really hopeless and feels alone? What would you say to them?
This may not be helpful to everybody, but I mean, in some cases, you just have to reach out, because people might not know you're struggling.
I definitely agree. And I know, the stigma makes it so scary to ask for help, but I feel like that's, the first step and the most important step.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks again, Melissa, for allowing me to interview you, and I really hope you guys have a great school year with Active Minds. I'd like to end this podcast with a positive affirmation. As I forgive myself, I leave behind all feelings of not being good enough. And I'm free to love myself. I have to say thank you to my audio consultant, Jean, the music composer, Elise, and all my Tumblr followers. The question for next week is, how has religion played a role in your mental health? For any questions or comments, you can contact me at Twitter at anxioussurvivor, and I'm also at Gmail at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. And don't forget to please rate, subscribe, and comment on my podcast on iTunes. And thank you all for listening. Hope you all tune in next time.